Way, way long ago, in the 1950s, in Catholic grammar school, we used to have to learn lots of lists. The Ten Commandments, long parts of the Catechism, the corporal works of mercy, the theological and natural virtues. We'd memorize those lists. And we also had to learn the eight Beatitudes. I think it wasn't until I was in the seminary that I learned there was a shorter list. The eight Beatitudes are in Matthew, where Jesus preaches his great Sermon on the Mount, kind of the preface for all his teaching. But in the Gospel of Luke, there's only four Beatitudes, and Jesus preaches on the plain. But whether it be Matthew or Luke, the Beatitudes teach us what Christianity is all about. That basically, Christians try to model our lives after the Lord. He was giving. He was serving. He was with his Father, rich beyond all language or understanding. Yet he gave all that up out of the abundance of his love to serve us. He loves his people. He loves his church the way a husband loves his bride and the way a bride loves her husband. He gives of himself, and it wasn't always easy. Remember how he sorrowed over the lack of response to his teaching. Remember his agony in the garden where he sweat blood. Remember his life-giving cross where he poured out everything. But all of it ended in the resurrection, in joy beyond compare. The New Testament word for beatitude is makarios in Greek. It means happy, blessed, beatitude. It is a taste on earth of what we hope to know forever in heaven, a joy that knows no end. Marriage, in our tradition, is one of the principal signs of what beatitude is all about. You are examples to the whole church that it is better to give than receive, that we should always be ready to forgive, to go the extra mile, to love not only when it's reasonable, but sometimes when it's unreasonable. Married love is not romance. That comes and goes. Married love is the deepest possible human friendship. Married love is modeled after God's love. And there is blessing and beatitude in married love, not just for you, but for your children, for your neighbors, for your church, for your bishop. You build up the body of Christ. You incarnate God's love by being the people you are. I remember making my first vows as a religious in 1973. I have not been a perfect Holy Cross religious. I was ordained a priest in 1974. God knows I'm not the priest I ought to be. And I bet all of you know there are times you may have failed for your partner, for your children, for your parents, for your neighbors. But God doesn't expect perfection in this world. What he expects is a loving heart that is ready to try over and over again. And the gospel promises us that there is blessing, beatitude, happiness, bliss in that self-giving. One of the things about the Gospel of Luke that's also a little bit unique, there's four Beatitudes. I'm having trouble counting this afternoon. Four Beatitudes and four woes. The truth is, people in this world who are selfish, who build up walls around themselves, who are self-satisfied, who think they are a kingdom unto themselves, there is no happiness in that. There is nothing but woe. When a man realizes he is completed in his wife, in his life's partner, when a woman realizes she is completed and made whole in her husband, when they recognize it is their union together that embodies Christ's love, that is blessing. That is recognizing simple truth. Marriage was not instituted by the state of Illinois. Marriage was not instituted by the United States of America. It wasn't the United Nations that declared marriage is between a man and a woman until death. That comes from God. That comes from His holy ordinance. It comes from Him knowing what is best for those called to the sacrament of matrimony. There is, of course, the truth that marriage is based upon divine love, that ordinary human beings are graced, and grace just means the presence of God, with the promises of holy matrimony. Whenever they asked Jesus, what would heaven be like? He had a real simple answer. Heaven is like a marriage feast, where people come from near and far, families and friends, all the different generations, the grandmas and grandpas down to the little babies, all come together. There is rejoicing. There is happiness. There is rich food and a lot to drink, and all gathered around a table where a family, where a couple become one. It is a promise of eternal bliss and beatitude, of being in our Father's house, of having all our sins forgiven, of knowing a joy that gets better and better because we are practicing on earth what we hope to experience in eternity. So, as your bishop, I give thanks to God for you. You build up my faith. You strengthen my celibate priesthood. You are an example to your children and your children's children. You are a guide for those young people seeking their vocation in this world. And I dare to echo what Jesus promised. By doing what God asks, by being a giver and a server, a forgiver, someone who builds up rather than tears down, you will know happiness. You will know bliss. You will know God's beatitude.